We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program one of our favorite folks, actor, author, storyteller, and wonderful friend of the show, Stephen Tobolowsky. Hello there, Stephen.
Hey, Rich. How's everything going in Maine?
Well, we're like everybody else. We're adjusting to the new normal. How about you?
Well, the new normal out here changes about every 20 minutes. So the latest 20 minutes, and this involved me, is that they just declared an edict here in Los Angeles that seniors will be able to shop between 7 and 8 in the morning to be able to get some sort of grocery at the grocery store. This was something that's brand new. And so that way, if I am now of that category of senior, being that I'm over 60, if I wish, I can go to that grocery store 7 to 8 and look at the empty shelves like I could have done at 10 o'clock. It is amazing. We used to have years and years and years ago, a woman cleaned our house named Minnie. Her son was a professional wrestler, and Minnie used to talk to me about life a lot of times. And I asked her how she was doing, and we never could fire her or do anything. She never cleaned the house. She was too old to clean the house, but we couldn't take the job away from her. So Minnie would come over, and I'd fix her tea, and she'd hold a mop or a broom and talk to me, and then later pick up another cleaning utensil without actually using it. But this is what Minnie told me. I asked her how she was doing, and she says, well, today she feels like she's 60, but her shoulder feels like it's 80, and her knee feels like it's 100. And I said, so things don't age all at once. And she says, no, Stephen, you die at different speeds. And so sometimes people's feet die first. Sometimes their heart dies first, and then they die for good. So what we're seeing in Los Angeles, boy, this is a gloomy note, is we're seeing different elements of society that we're familiar with ending rapidly before we really know what's happening. The other day, I went to get gas, no gasoline. We're at that stage now. The shelves of the stores are empty. We're at that stage now. But I'll tell you what we did do, and this is on a bright note, and this is on a note that'll put a smile to your face. All of us on One Day at a Time, which premieres, I think, in a few days.
1 week from today, I believe, right? March 24th?
1 week from today, March 24th. That is exactly right, on Pop TV. So Mike and Gloria, our executive producers, had the wonderful idea, amazing idea, and they said, what if we did a mini episode for everybody who's in lockdown, for everybody who's in their homes and can't go anywhere? Let's just do an episode of everyone in the Alvarez family and everyone in the cast also doing social distancing. And so Mike and Gloria, bless their hearts, they wrote a script, a very funny script, and last night, each one of us recorded our part of the script on our telephone in our lockdown parts of the house where I had to shoot mine in the garage because I needed a white background, and they're going to edit this together for all the fans of One Day at a Time as kind of a morale booster. So that's coming everybody's way, probably sooner than later.
Well, that is wonderful.
But we did finish. Yeah, it's wonderful. We did finish the first 6 episodes before anything. We went into a scheduled hiatus, a scheduled break, while everybody kind of took a breath over the first 6 shows. And then we were just told, oh, we're going to have to take another week off. So we were supposed to go back to work this next week, but it'll probably be the week after that. But of course, in this world where everything changes so quickly, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But it's never a dull moment here in Los Angeles, let me tell you.
No, or anywhere else for that
matter. And now here in Maine, you're not in such dire conditions.
Well, things are pretty much shut down around here. There are a few restaurants that are doing curbside takeout. The governor has stopped most sit-down crowds. We've got curfews in effect. And then today it's snowing because you like a little winter with your apocalypse, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's like Minnie says, just different things are kind of, you know, dying at different times, you know, and then you hope that there's a resurgence, and certainly there certainly are a lot of bright spirits here in Los Angeles and a lot of helpful spirits, and it's true that in a way crisis does bring out the best in people, and so far we haven't really seen the worst in people. Rich, I don't know how many apocalypses you faced in your life. I think the first one I faced that I remember was the Cuban Missile Crisis. Did you go through that one?
I did, but I was just a small child, and I have a very little memory of that.
Yeah, my wife Ann and I, we were thinking back fondly of how both of us pestered our parents to build a fallout shelter in the backyard. Both of our parents said, like, no, we're not going to do that. And we felt sure that that was the end. And I think of that wonderful Thornton Wilder play, Skin of Our Teeth.
Mm.
I saw a magnificent production of that when I was in graduate school. But each of the three acts of the play ends with the end of the world. The first act is in dinosaur days with cavemen,
right,
and a volcano is erupting and going to kill all mankind, blackout. Then the next is the flood, and Noah and the flood, but everybody's Shriners at a convention in Miami, but it is the flood that's going to end the world. And then the last act is the war that was going to end all of civilization. And what I heard about this production, this play, Skin of Our Teeth, is that Thornton Wilder wrote it while he was, I think, a reporter in World War II. And he wrote it, and the first production of the play happened in a bombed-out town in France and was performed under moonlight.
Wow.
And the last act of the people saying, this is the war that would destroy all mankind. And at the end, the people on stage find courage to continue on because wisdom will continue and our love of one another continues. That if I could not imagine what it would be like to be in that audience in that burned out, ruined city of France watching this beautiful play. And I think about it now when you're kind of running out of food and running out of essentials, and people say, oh, if you're over 60, stay indoors. You know, this is a bad one. And I feel heartened by that play. And I guess that's kind of what art does, is somehow you get in these situations and you remember a piece of music or a painting or a play, or a movie, and you get courage again. And hopefully this is what our season of One Day at a Time will do, too, when it comes out, because we have some beautiful shows that we've finished that are coming out that are really, you know, when we read them, kind of took our breath away. We have our fingers crossed.
Well, it's no small thing in these times, especially with people, for the most part, confined to their homes. Entertainment, something that lifts the spirit, that's more important than ever before. So we can't wait for the new season. I understand quite a few exciting guest stars appearing this season, too.
Well, we I think it's no secret we had the one and only Ray Romano for the first show.
Mm.
And that was amazing to watch Ray. And, you know, he was saying to Mike Royce, because Mike Royce and Ray did Everybody Loves Raymond together. Mike was the executive producer on that show. And Ray was looking around going like, hey, you know, I like this. I forgot how much fun this is to do this. And what Ray kind of shows everybody is that you don't have to do anything to be funny, but listen and think and talk. His thought process is so hysterical. And all of us were having trouble keeping a straight face on stage, but that's par for the course for us. But it's going to be an exciting season.
Well, how wonderful was it for all of you who not that long ago were facing the end of the show? How wonderful was it to all be back together again?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it doesn't happen. And you know, there were several mysteries surrounding that. We found out some of the statistics from Netflix, which they always keep secret. In the first year, One Day at a Time, had on an average 2 million viewers. Wow. The second season, we had 4 million viewers. The third season, we had 8 million viewers.
Hmm.
And I was shooting The Goldbergs, and I got a call from Mike and Gloria 5 minutes before I had to go to the set. And I was certain it was the pickup, because we had gotten such great reviews for 3 years. Audiences loved the show. And I thought, oh, they're here telling me good news. I get a knock on the door. They say, Stephen, we're going to need you in 5. I go, sure, no problem. And I answer the phone, Mike and Gloria, and Gloria says, Stephen, I'm so sorry, but our beautiful little show is coming to an end. And my heart crashed through the floor. I couldn't even believe it. I was so stunned, I couldn't even cry. I couldn't do anything. And then the AD knocks on my door again and says, Stephen, we're ready to shoot your scene.
No.
Where I had to go out on the Goldbergs and be funny. And it was a graduation show, and I'm trying to remember my lines with all the students in front of me, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I am now unemployed. I am officially unemployed. And I think Annie and I, we took a vacation after that show. Anne was working on a play from a playwright in Finland. In Finland. So I went along with her to Helsinki just to hang out, drink the beer. And we had been there together 33 years beforehand. That's how long we've been in love. So 33 years before, we were in Helsinki. And let me tell you, the city didn't change that much. It's pretty much the same thing. You know, I had beer at the same place I had beer 33 years ago. And we get an email that in Austin, in Austin, Texas, there's going to be a producers meeting, and they want to focus on the cast One Day at a Time. And I thought it was a little morbid, kind of for a postmortem. But I took a flight from Helsinki to Austin, Texas. And there is a flight that will get you there. I don't recommend that flight, but it will get you to Austin, Texas. And I had dinner with a couple other of the cast members, with Mike Royce and Brent Miller, our other executive producer. And Mike leaned across the table and said, Stephen, we're not dead. I go, what? He says, listen, I have worked on dead shows. I've worked on half-dead shows. This show may have life again. And I thought Mike was pulling his leg, but Mike has more experience than about anyone I've ever known in television. And sure enough, I went back to L.A. about 3 days later, I got the second call from Mike and Gloria saying, Stephen, we're on again on Pop TV. which is run by CBS.
Right.
And we got another season, you know, and they loved the show. And this is one thing I learned. You always learn something, or you're dead, or you're like many, that your brain's dead. You always learn something. And this is what I learned. It isn't enough to have a wonderful show with a great cast that you love and wonderful writers, fabulous directors, some of the best in the business. It's not enough. And you need power and passion behind all of that in the network and in the studio. And with Sony behind us, we had street fighters who are going to do anything because they love the show so much. And with Pop TV, we had passion. And they bent over backwards to try to make it possible to bring Pop one day at a time from Netflix to Pop. And so much gratitude goes to those guys in the big tower at Sony who put on the brass knucks for us, and for Pop TV, who are kind of like a new Romeo and Juliet act with us, with their love for this show. They made it all possible.
Well, we can't wait. The new season premieres on March 24th on Pop TV of One Day at a Time. Stephen, it has been comforting to me, and I wanted you to know, I started rereading My Adventures with God over the weekend. It seemed to be something that would be good to get back to during these somewhat stressful times.
I think so. I had an interview yesterday with someone who said, "Can you give me something of encouragement from My Adventures with God that can encourage us in these terrible times?" And I don't know if it's the best example, but the one example I can think of, since you brought it up, and that is my old rabbi, Rabbi Schimmel, said that the human being needs four things to survive. We need our physical, our emotional, our intellectual, and our spiritual life. We think in this day and time, the physical is the most important. We always go to the gym. And for intellectual, we always have Sudoku. But, you know, emotional, a lot of times we let that go. And spiritual, we never turn to it at all. And he says the human being cannot survive without all four of those cranking. So I look for enormous comfort in some of the lessons I've learned from the Bible. And there's brilliant stuff there. And from my teachers from Temple, magnificent thoughts and they give you resilience as well as intellectual material, emotional material from music we listen to, and keep it working. Of course, in Maine, it's impossible to live in Maine and not keep the physical going. I mean, just going to the store is difficult. You know, Lake Thompson, I remember trying to swim back to the boat. Even that was difficult. Yeah.
Well, Stephen, it's wonderful to talk with you. As always, we wish you good health and patience. We all need some of that getting through this. And I hope most of all that when you make your first foray to the supermarket during those special senior hours that you find at least partially stocked shelves.
Right now, I'm looking for a loaf of bread and a little quart of milk. That's all I want. You know, I don't ask for much.
Well, we hope you find them. Stephen, we thank you for making time for us. Give our best to Ann as well, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
You got it, Rich. Love to you guys.
At Stephen Tobolowsky. Again, One Day at a Time, the brand new season premiering a week from today, March 24th.